Philippians chapter 4, and if you're going to use a pew Bible, that's going to be on page 900, and don't forget Megan. Megan needs a handout too, guys. Yes, right there. Don't forget that girl. Page 982. So turn to page 982 if you're using a pew Bible. Otherwise, just turn to Philippians chapter 4. So tonight, we're really continuing a little bit about what we looked at this morning. So this morning, we talked about dealing with temptation. Tonight, we're going to talk about guarding your heart. And if you listen to many pop songs or watch many movies that come out of Hollywood, you're going to hear things like this. The heart wants what the heart wants, and you can't control it. They're also going to tell you things like you can't control who you fall in love with. Now, you're not going to find that in the Bible. You're actually going to find in the Bible that it's going to tell you, yes, you can. And not only can you, but you had better. You and I had better think about what goes in our heart and think about what grows in our heart, because the heart in the Scripture is often described as what you might say is the seat of emotions. And so our feelings, they come out of our heart, and it's important that we control that and are careful about what goes in and what comes out. Now, think about it. How do we control our heart? What do we do about that? Well, think about some of the feelings we have. We talked about love. There's also anger and / kind of bitterness. Those are similar. We also have feelings like anxiety, and we have things like fear. And so let's start out here in Philippians 4. And to get the context, let's pick it up in verse 4, where the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Now, this is what the Bible says about your heart. And you'll notice there's that key phrase where he says, guard your heart. But I do want you to go back and notice again verse 4. Where he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Now, what does rejoice mean? Sometimes, some people might say a synonym would be to be happy. And so is the Lord saying that you're to be happy? No, not really. The Lord is saying you're to be joyful, and he is saying that you go forth and you rejoice. And so you say, "But I don't feel like I rejoice. My gout is acting up, or my diabetes is out of whack, or my blood sugar, you know, or this is happening, or that is happening." But see, the Bible is saying, regardless of what may be happening, what could be happening with you at school, or what could be happening at work, or even in your family, or with your health, he is saying day in and day out you rejoice. And if you'll think about it for a minute, that's completely contrary to what we hear in the media and in, you know, in our world today. You know, you rejoice if you're in love, you know, or you rejoice if things are all going well for you. But the Bible says you rejoice because you think about what the Lord has done for you. So he says, first of all, in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord with always." Again, I say rejoice. He says to be reasonable as you work with others, to everyone, and to remember the Lord is right there at your hand. And so you think about that. That should help us rejoice, and you also, it should help us in our treatment of others. But then he says here in verse 6, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything." And you're like, "What? I mean, really? I'm going to be on I-40 tomorrow and going to be stuck in traffic, or going to be trying to, you know, get someone, you know, out of the hospital, or I'm dealing with this problem or that problem." He says, "Be anxious about nothing." What is up with this? He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So his point is, okay, you're Ken right now, and you're thinking, I got to get out of this hospital. I have got to get out of this hospital because I've got to be in good enough shape tomorrow to meet with the transplant team. That's kind of anxiety provoking. And if you're not careful, it can really get you going because you're thinking, I've got to get out. I've got to get out. So what he says, when you get yourself into an anxious situation, to stop and pray about it. And say, Lord, you know my situation. You know I need to get home. You know I need to be able to rest. You know I need to get back over here tomorrow morning. And you know I've got to talk to these people about being a good candidate for this transplant situation. So you've got a situation, we're talking about Kim, you're thinking about your work situation, or you're thinking about your school situation. As soon as that anxiety comes into you, you start praying about it. You say, God, you know, I know you're right here at my hand. I know that you're going to help me. I'm rejoicing in what I have in you, and I'm also thinking about how you're going to help me. So he says, pray about that. Pray about that. So as you see here, the Lord is letting us know your feelings, your heart, is not dictated to by circumstances. You've got a God that's in heaven, and He goes with you everywhere you go, and that's what controls your heart. That's how you guard your heart. Now, he goes on, he says, you know, yes, you pray. He talks about praying with thanksgiving, which means you don't just pray for the particular need. You think about what God has done for you, and you pray about those things as well. He also told us earlier to rejoice, so we've got some of that in our prayers. But then he says in verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So it is like a formula. You're upset. And he's talking here about the feeling of anxiety or fear. You're fearful. So he says you pray. And the result is you have the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. So a physician walks into you and he's like, I don't understand why you're so calm. Or a coworker looks at your situation. Or another student looks at what's going on in your life and they notice you're cool, you're calm about this, and they don't get it because it surpasses all understanding. It's not a human thing, it's a God thing. And so that's what the Lord is saying about our heart. We guard our heart by rejoicing, and we guard our heart also by praying. But then you've got something else here. If you look in the last part of verse 7, he says here, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So here's the thing. First off, we've got a responsibility to guard our hearts. The second thing we've got to turn around and ask is, how do you do that? You know, how is it that I control who I fall in love with? How is it that I control how I feel? You see, how do I do that? And so he's going to tell us here. He tells us, first of all, guard your hearts. And then he says, and your mind. So a big component to your heart is what goes into your mind and what your mind focuses upon. So look again at verse 7. He says, This surpasses all understanding. He says it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So here's the thing. You cannot guard your heart if you do not guard your mind. Okay? If you let anything and everything go into your mind, you will have no control over your heart. So a week ago, we talked about biblical purity. So if you sit around and you think all kinds of sensual thoughts, if you're feeding the flesh, as Paul likes to talk about when he writes to the Corinthians, if you are focusing on those kinds of things, your heart's going to become all corrupted and it's going to become very wicked. If you sit around and you think fearful thoughts and you think about how bad it's going to be when such and such happens and you assume that the worst is going to happen and you let that fill your mind, then that's the kind of heart you're going to have, is an emotionally broken, frightened heart. If you sit around and you think about how so-and-so did such and such to you a decade ago, you know, or you think about every little slight, they didn't call on me in school, you know, or they didn't, you know, did you see what my coworkers did? They all went out such and such, and they didn't ask me to go, even though you didn't want to go. You know, and you think about it, and you you focus on every little slight that someone does to you, then you're going to have a bitter heart. So his point here is you guard your heart. And how do you guard your heart? By what goes into your mind. Now, we should be reading the Bible a lot. We should be going to church a lot. We should be going to Sunday school and Bible studies. We should be doing all of those things. And by the way, we don't do that enough, you know, because that's a big component. That's a big part of how we're able to stay on track. But we also want to do some other things and really get a handle on our mind. So look at verse 8. So he says, finally, brothers. So like, I mean this. I'm endeared to you guys. He says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and some versions say any virtue, if there's any excellence or virtue, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So here's the thing here. How do you guard your mind? You do it by guarding your thoughts. You've got to guard your thoughts. You and I must do that. So as we sit here this evening, one of the things Paul is writing to us about here is how do you guard your mind? You do it by focusing on the right things. Focusing on the right things. So what are wrong things? Almost everything you see in the media. You know, now I'll take it. I'll give it to you, that Hallmark Channel, you know, it's not so bad. PBS is not so bad, you know, sometimes it is, but that's because I don't want to watch it. You know, there's some sports are okay, you know, but truly we've got to get a handle and think about what it is that we can watch, what it is we can listen to, and what it is that we can't, what it is that's going to tear us down. So he gives you a list here. He gives us a list. So I just read it there. He says, first of all, think about whatever is true. So you're listening to something or you're watching something, you realize it's not true. He's saying, don't let it get into your mind. Now, this is why I have trouble when I watch something and I realize it's not completely historically accurate, and it bothers me a little bit. That's a good thing. You know, I'm like, I can't watch it. You know, somebody's going to be thinking that this is true and it's not true. I just can't watch it. But really what we have today is a lot of this business about, you know, love, you know, not to tear down all these love stories out there, you know, but most of them seem to be like, I won't name names, but, you know, a guy meets a girl and this happens and that happens, and it's got a formula to it. And usually they're sexually promiscuous before they're married. Not true, not the way it's supposed to be. And then they go along and then they get married or whatever, hopefully, and then everything's happily ever after. Not true, not the way it works out. So one of the things he's saying to us is you find things that are true. You find things that are honorable. You find things that are just, and you find things that are pure, and you fill your mind with those things. I know many of our young people practiced here all afternoon. I commend them for that. I didn't stay all afternoon. I just enjoyed the meal with them. And I found us sitting around talking about, it wasn't the Justice Brothers, it's the Justice Team, is it? What is it? What? I'm sorry, I apologize. The Justice League. So we're sitting there and we're talking about the Justice League. And we're talking about Captain America. We're talking about Iron Man. You older people don't. I'm hip. I know all this stuff. You know, you older people probably don't know who Iron Man is. I apologize if I've insulted you there. But, you know, it's like, but Iron Man, people go along and say, well, you know, Iron Man's got some problems. You know, he's got some attitude issues. Somebody said at the table. And you're sitting there and you're realizing, you know, some of this stuff is pretty good. Watching Captain America, a wholesome guy who doesn't like it when other people curse, you know. Watching guys like that, and they're trying to fight for good. They're trying to fight for things that are right. And you sit there and you realize there are things that are good to watch and there are things that are not. Okay, so there are some movies that go in and everything about it is perverted and it promotes a perverted idea. I realize the Justice guy is there. I realize that that's a Marvel comic and all of that. However, it is a good thing that you are fighting for good. I think of Ben Bear's slogan. You're fighting for good as opposed, and you're fighting against evil. And so let me tell you this. You're sitting around and you're struggling and you're wanting to be bitter. You're wanting to be fearful, or you're wanting to think anger towards someone else. Sometimes the best thing you can do is put yourself in a good wholesome movie and watch that. Because you cannot sit there and stay bitter or stay fearful or stay all entangled in some sort of bad sensuality kind of thing. You got to break that thought pattern. I'll give an example. You know, long, long ago, I worked with psychologists, and this is not going to sound right to you, but this is what I did. So I was working with these psychologists and consulting with them, and this psychologist calls me, and she was working in a prison that I had worked in for many, many years. And one of the prisoners was suicidal. Well, that happened to us, I tell you, every day there was somebody that was suicidal. And so she called me and she says, "I just can't rest. I can't sleep. I'm all upset and I'm nervous and I'm finding myself shaking here because this guy's suicidal." I said, "Well, what did you do?" She said, "Well, I put him on suicide watch." I said, "Well, I'll tell you this. Those staff members, if you've got him on suicide watch, they must be in constant contact with him. They must record that. At least one person is watching him at all times. He is safer than if you were right there with him right now." I know. I can't get past." I said, "Well, maybe you just need to go to the movies. I don't know. You have got to get your mind off this situation because this inmate is safe. He's safer than if you were there with him right now." And so you look at that and you say, "Well, boy, Pastor Eddie, I don't know. I don't know about some of that advice he gave." You must break the train. You must break that train of thought. So everybody's got something that their mind ruminates on or thinks upon. Some of them it's anxiety. Some of them it's bitterness. Some of them it's of a sensual nature. It is not okay to keep thinking that stuff. And so what he's saying here in this passage is you get your mind on something that's good, something that's wholesome, something that's just, something that's pure, something that is lovely. He says whatever is commendable, anything that's commendable, anything that has any excellence or virtue to it, he says that's what you get busy thinking about. And so a lot of times folks walk around and they're all down in the dumps, or they're all angry, or they're all scared, and it isn't okay. It is not okay. Because this passage is saying, think about something else. Get your mind busy on something else. And so if it means watching the Avengers, or if it means, got it right that time, didn't I? Yeah. If it means, reading a good book, or if it means going to a museum, or if it means going jogging in the park, or it means going truly to the Scripture and taking Scripture back and fighting back with it. Whatever it is, you take it and do it. Now, so he talks to us here about guarding our hearts. He says you've got to focus on the right things. I want you to take your Bible and I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now I want you to scroll down and look at the very beginning there, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm going to go ahead and start reading as you turn there, but I'll call the verses out. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, that's going to be page 968 if you're using a pew Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "I, Paul, myself, entreat you by meekness and gentleness of Christ." In other words, guys, this is important. And so I'm entreating you, I'm kind of begging you with meekness and in humility in Christ to listen to me here. He says, "I, who am humble when face to face with you, but bold towards you when I am away, I beg of you, he says, "that when I am present, I may not have to show boldness with such confidence as I count on showing against some who suspect us of walking according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." He says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete." So stop there. So he says, "Look, guys, I've got my own problems." And he says, "What I'm going to say to you is, you are living in this world. You walk in this world with the flesh. You physically walk in this world. But I'm telling you, do not walk according to the flesh. What does he mean by that? There are some people that will say to you real quickly, hey, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. But they also turn around and say to you, it's such and such wrong. It's such and such bad. And pretty soon you realize it's kind of like a cliff. And they're saying, hey, can I stand on this rock? And can I lean over the side? And can I do this? Can I do that? And you're like, well, goodness, don't do that. You know. And what they're saying to you is, I want to get as close to evil and I want to get as close to bad or danger as I can. And how close can I get? And in many ways, they're walking in the flesh. They're just saying, you know, this movie is not all that bad. Or this word is not so bad. Or doing this activity is not such a bad thing. And they're really going out and they're walking to the flesh and they're not realizing if you're a Christian, you've got to walk differently and you've got to act differently. You can't be like everyone else. Now you keep on going, you shift down. And he says here in verse 2, last part of verse 2, don't walk according to the flesh, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. So he says this to us, you're battling all kinds of fleshly issues, anxiety, you know, / fear, / bitterness, you know, bitterness and / anger, sensuality and things like that. But he says you can't battle it in that way. You must battle it, the battle of the flesh, in a spiritual way. And you do that by taking passages from the Bible. That's one of the spiritual things you do. And so when you're scared to death, you're coming back and you've got written down on your little piece of paper, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you're afraid that everything's going to fall apart, you're reading passages like Isaiah 41 that says, fear not. I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I hold your right hand there. And so you're thinking about these passages and you read these passages, right? And you're combating those with whatever it is you encounter. Same thing with sexual issues or any other issue you might have. You combat it with Scripture. So he says we fight the flesh here. Back to verse 4, he says, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. So you have weapons in your arsenal that can destroy strongholds. I've talked to you in the past about soldiers from Iraq and Afghanistan who experienced post-traumatic stress and experienced things like moral injury. And right now at the VA, they do something called repeated mantra training. And what is repeated mantra training? Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, help me. So someone is in a situation, immediately their mind is right back in Iraq and they'll say a quick prayer like, Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, please help me. Pray a prayer like that. Now, the VA's doing that. And what they're doing is saying, you know what? Think of the name that helps you, that gets you through stress. And what they're finding is it works. It works. And so, it's interesting, VA's found something that works. Well, the Bible told us a long time ago it worked. And he's saying you have something within your tool belt here that can destroy strongholds. It's God. It's the Son of God. It's Jesus Christ. And so you call upon Him and you pray to Him. Verse 5 says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. So, you hear all this talk out there, all this jibber-jabber, and it's contrary to the Word of God. Take it and look at what the Word says. And when somebody says to you, you can't control who you love, you go back and you look at what the Bible says about our heart and talks about it being where everything comes from and guarding your heart, and you come back with that. And then look at the last part of verse 5. And take every thought captive to obey Christ. That if you're looking in a Bible that's made out of paper there, it's worth underlining it, you know, and to think about that particular verse. Take every thought captive to obey Christ. Sometimes I fear we think we have to let our minds go where they will go, right? The Bible tells you don't do that. The Bible says you take thoughts captive. So whether it's sensuality, whether it's some sort of substance abuse issue, whether it's something about fear or anxiety or bitterness, You can't just sit there and keep thinking that. You've got to bring that into captivity and think about the things he's told us back in Philippians 4, verse 8, the things that he's told us to think about instead. That's what I was saying to that psychologist that day. Quit sitting there thinking about these thoughts. Get busy thinking about something else. And I say that to us as well. And I say to you also, the Lord is saying that to you right now. You take a thought captive. You're not ruled by your thoughts. You rule your thoughts. You guard your heart, and you do not walk according to the flesh. So we take every thought captive, and we don't allow it to rule us and to control us. And you keep going here, and then he says in verse 6, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. And so when you look at that, what he's saying to us is, quite simply, to guard your heart, you obey the Lord, and you do what the Lord has told you to do. Here's the thing. Tomorrow, you're in a hospital, and you're scared to death. You don't know how this thing's going to go. You don't know how it's going to work out. And by the way, you don't. You don't know how it's going to go. We're praying for you, and other people will pray for you as well. But here's the thing. Regardless of what happens, you have the Lord Jesus Christ with you. He goes with you everywhere you go. And let's say everything does go wrong. Let's say everything does deteriorate and you pass away from this earth tomorrow when this particular situation goes down. You will be in the presence of the Lord and you will be okay. Now, you're laying there and they're doing a test on you, putting you through an MRI machine or whatever it is, and that's kind of going through your mind, and you kind of calm down, you kind of relax a little bit. The next time something else like that happens to you, it goes a little bit easier. And the next time it goes a little bit easier, and it goes a little bit easier, and so forth. And so the more we obey the Lord, the easier it gets. Maybe your thing is bitterness. And so you stop thinking about what that person has done for you. Maybe you say a prayer for them and you think to yourself, well, you know, bless their hearts. You know, look at what has happened to them. And maybe that's contributed in some way to what it is that they've done, what their particular actions are. And the more you do that, the easier it gets for you. There are times when you get weak and it's right back there and it hits you again, but you're there with it. You keep going with that. Maybe your thing is some sort of sensual issue and you find yourself strongly tempted to do a certain thing. You stop, you hit your hand or whatever you have to do, you get yourself your attention, get it focused on something else, and you keep on going with what ought to be. What I can tell you is there's veterans in different parts of our country right now that they drive down the highway and they see a truck broke down the side of the road, often under an underpass or whatever, and immediately fear goes right through their heart. And then they stop or they may say something to themselves like, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, please help me with this. And they may start sweating. Their heart begins to move very rapidly. And as they drive by, and like, ooh, made it by. And they say, you know, I can continue to go to work. And they pull out something that says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And they keep on going. And though their stomach may be a little bit upset, they walk in and they go to work and they stick with it and they pray and they think about how the Lord is with them. And it gets a little bit easier and a little bit easier every day, but only because they obey. So the Bible's giving us a prescription here about how to guard our heart. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed and you think about your own heart. There's all kinds of things in our hearts. Some of us have to guard our heart from bitterness. Some of us have to guard it from sensuality. Some of us have to guard it from fear or anxiety. And you know, there's any number of things that can creep into one's heart and destroy it if we are not careful. I'm going to ask you right now to look at what it is that's in your heart. Ask the Lord to cleanse you of it, to take it out of your heart, forgive you of any sins that might be there in your heart. And I'm going to also ask you to ask the Lord to help you to guard your heart and to commit to the Lord. Lord, I'm not going to let myself just think anything I want to think. I'm going to take the thoughts of mine captive, like you said. I'm going to focus on different things, and may even seem like it's kind of a mundane thing, you know, when I think about what you said in Philippians 4:8, whatever things are true, whatever things are just, anything of any virtue, I'm going to think on those things. So maybe that's your commitment to the Lord, that I'm going to control, Lord. I'm going to try to take these thoughts captive through you, Lord, who can take down all these things in my life. Pray to the Lord right now. There where you sit, you could come to this altar and pray as well. But pray and ask God to help you and to guard your heart. Father, we ask right now that you will help us to guard our hearts. Lord, we know how quickly we can get off track. We know how little things can creep into our hearts and how they can grow. They can metastasize like a cancer, and they can make our heart dark, and they can make our hearts rotten. Help us, Lord, to constantly be thinking of the importance of guarding our hearts, to focus upon you, and to realize that we've got to be careful about what goes into it through our mind, and we've got to be careful about the kinds of things that we think about. Help us, Lord, to guard our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we ask these things. Amen. I want to encourage you to keep praying.